Yeah, and then we'll kind of get into what we're going to do tonight. But first of all, I just want to ask you a question, just as kind of a basis of what we're going to be talking about tonight. But does anybody here know what qualified you for salvation? I mean, are you saved tonight just because you're a good person? You know, you didn't sin too much, so you get to go to heaven when you die. You know, you cut back on your sinning, and so you get to go. We had a guy tell us that one time. He came to the church. He was messed up, man. And he saw some members of our church out shopping, and he told him, he said, well, praise God. He said, you know what? He said, I really love what I've been hearing down there at the church. You know, just cut back on your sinning and get real tight with God. Like, I didn't know that's what we were teaching. Cut back on your sinning and get real tight with God. But that's what he thought he was hearing. But is that what qualifies you for salvation? Cutting back on your sinning and getting real tight with God? You know, did you do enough good deeds to balance out all your trespasses? Is that what's, you know, qualifying you for salvation? You know, maybe you helped enough little old ladies across the street. Maybe you recycle. Is that what's going to do it for you? You know how that can be. Maybe you gave blood or you signed to be an organ donor. Is that what's getting you in? Is that what's qualifying you? You know, maybe you're like one of those people that you never pass Santa's red pot without putting something in. Is that what's qualifying you? Are you sure? Because these are the kind of things people think are getting them in heaven. You'd be shocked how many people think that. You know, some people think if you chant towards Mecca 7 times a day, that'll do it for you. Is that what's getting you in? Maybe you fasted 40 days or maybe even 3. I don't know, however long you could make it. Maybe just noon. Maybe you ate at 11 and 1, but you fasted at noon. Have you ever noticed that? You can miss lunch, no problem, unless it's the day when you declare to fast. And then you have to, anyway. You know, maybe it's because you actually went not just to church, but to Sunday school. I don't know. I mean, you know, people have all these things that are qualifying them in their minds that are qualifying them for heaven. But there's only one thing that qualifies you for heaven, and that is Jesus. Jesus is what qualifies you for heaven. And that's the only possible qualification for your salvation, Jesus. So if anybody ever asks you, why are you going to heaven? Jesus. Why are you saved? Jesus. What qualifies you to have anything to do with God? Jesus. That's the answer. Jesus. Now, do you believe that tonight? Yes. Jesus is who and what qualifies you for receiving salvation? Is that what you believe tonight? Well, you know, most Christians don't really believe that. I mean, you may start out believing that way, you know, maybe that you get to get in heaven because of Jesus, but everything else has to be earned. You get to go to heaven when you die because of Jesus, but everything else you got to earn. You know, in the scripture, there are over 30,000 promises that God made to people. Over 30,000 promises that God's made to his people. How do you qualify to receive those promises? You see, I'm telling you, this is where we are. We believe that the reason we get to go to heaven when we die is because of Jesus. But all the rest of it, you got to work for it. All the rest of it, here's my list. And if I do all these things, and everybody's got a list, and you know every denomination has their list, even faith people, they have their list of all the things you have to do, but there's one thing that qualifies you to receive. Did you know that? Now, you might not know that. There's one thing that qualifies you to receive all the promises of God. What is that?
Jesus.
Jesus. Let's say that again. Jesus. Yeah, you can tell who's been in the preschool. Daddy Tosh! But I'm going to tell you, religion has taught us, and most Christians, even Christians like you, believe that, yeah, I get to get it, maybe, you know, Jesus, I get into heaven because of Jesus, but to get anything else, there's this whole obstacle course set up. There's a whole bunch of hoops. There's a bunch of hurdles I have to clear, and if I can clear those hurdles, then I'll get to partake of a promise, like healing or you name it, any other kind of promise. But Jesus got us into heaven. Now think of that. That's so silly. Jesus gets us into heaven. We're born again, and God comes and lives on the inside of us. And we qualify in no way other than Jesus. But yet, to have our needs met, there's this whole other system. There's this whole other thing. But you get the really big one just on Jesus, but everything else you got to earn. That is stupid thinking. It is. It's just stupid. Now, I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to just show you quickly from the Bible. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The way that you qualify to receive God's promises is simple. And we've made it very complicated. Very complicated. You have to go to school for years to learn how to preach this complicated mess that we've come up with in the name of religion, instead of reading the Bible and realizing it really is true. It seems too good to be true, but it's really true. Jesus really did it all. He took care of the whole thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. Says in the New King James, for all the promises of God. Now, how many of his promises?
All
the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. All of them, all the promises of God, all the promises of God in him are yes. Now, the NIV says it this way, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now, it says in the New King James, it says the promises of God in him are yes. And in NIV, just like I just read, all the promises that God has made, they are yes in Christ. In other words, in Christ, the promises are yes. In Christ, they're yes. Now, how many of you are in Christ? Now, in Christ, the promises are yes. In him, the promises are yes. Now, the way to get God to say yes to any of his promises in your life is simple. Just be in him. Just be in Christ. Because in Christ, in him, the promises are yes. So, to everybody who's in him, the promise is
yes.
All the promises are yes to anybody who is in Christ. It's in Christ, they're yes. Now, the way you get in Christ is simple. You receive salvation, you're born again. Ephesians 1:13 says, in the NIV it says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit. In other words, whenever you are saved, whenever a person is born again, there is a seal from Almighty God that is stamped on you, and you are marked in him. And if we could see from God's perspective all the people in the world, the people who are born again have a seal that has been stamped upon them. We have all been sealed. We have all of us have been stamped in Christ. And so when God looks at all the people of the earth, he sees all the people who are in Christ. And all those people, his promises are
yes.
All his promises are
yes
to the people who are in Christ. If you're in Christ, the promises are yes, because all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now, I'm going to read that again. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moved in you and you were sealed in him. And you've been marked, literally marked in him. You've been marked. You know, I know people have issues with being tattooed. And, you know, some people, they have real issues with it and other people don't. But I'm going to tell you, a tattoo is a mark. And you really, literally have been tattooed even more than that in him, in Christ. And you've been marked in him, in Christ. And that anytime you need a promise, all you got to do is show your big tattoo in Christ, because the answer's
yes
to those who are in Christ. Okay, so you see that. Once Praise God. Once you were saved, you're now in Him, and in Him all the promises of God are yes. Now, we'll say this. Before Jesus, there were a lot of qualifications. And that qualification process was long and tedious and treacherous, and very few ever could manage to qualify for anything. But see, when Jesus came, He changed everything. In that long, tedious, treacherous process, Jesus fulfilled that process. He made it through the obstacle course from one end to the other, and He never missed a beat, and He never misstepped, and He never so much as even, you know, touched the hurdle when He was going over it. He cleared everyone. He made it through every fiery hoop perfectly. And in doing that, when He did that, when He went through that long, treacherous, tedious course and cleared it perfectly, the whole time He was doing that, He was you. He was wearing your number, and He went through, and He made it. He made it, but He didn't make it for Himself. He made it for you. And so all of heaven records it that you made it. And since you made it, now you qualify for everything. Because I'm telling you, you made it through the you made it through the obstacle course, you made it through all the qualifications. He came and He fulfilled the law. Because you never could. None of us could. But He did, and when He did it, He was wearing your number. And the judges marked it like you did it. That's what the Bible says. That's the revelation that Paul had. That's what the book of Galatians is about. It's about don't go back and try to keep the law when you have received the grace that comes so generously through Christ Jesus. There's no law for you to keep. You've already, through Christ, fulfilled the law. Now just partake of the blessings. Praise God. And those blessings, another word we could use for blessings is promises. You get all the promises. I'm telling you, Jesus changed everything. Without any merit of your own, you now fully qualify to receive all of God's promises. I tell you, that just messes with your mind. Somehow or another, inside of you, you think, well, that can't be. That's not right. Because see, here we are. Our flesh wants to earn it. We want to work for it. And one of the biggest tricks the devil plays on God's people is he tries to get you to earn something that already belongs to you. You're out working and striving, trying to earn something that was a free gift purchased by the blood of Jesus for you. And you don't have to earn it. But the devil, he gets us caught up in trying to earn all this stuff, working it. We're just huffing and puffing through the obstacle course when we should be, you know, up in the winner's circle just enjoying the blessings. But we're working, striving, and we're pretty sorry at it, I might add. And it seems like the harder you work, the worse you are at it. At least for me, that's how it's been. Now, you're in Him. You qualify. Now what? Well, let me read 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20 here in the Amplified. It says, "For as many as are the promises of God, they all find their yes, their answer in Christ, in Him. For this reason, we also utter the amen." Does anybody know what amen means?
So be it.
"For this reason, because the promises have in Christ been made, the answer's been given in Christ to us, yes. For that reason, our part in all of this is to utter or to say amen," which means so be it. So here's our part. "We utter the amen, the so be it to God through Him in His person and by His agency to the glory of God." So He's given the promise. You qualify through Jesus. You qualify. And then you simply, like a moment ago Gary said, you just actually believe that and you say, "Amen, so be it in my life." And you hear the promise and you say, "So be that in my life. So be it in my life. Amen, so be it in my life." You find the promises and you just look through the Bible and find what God's promised you, because anything He promises is for you. Anything good that's promised in here is promised to you, and the answer for you is yes in Christ. And so you qualify through Christ Jesus, and so you just utter amen, so be it. Let's say that, amen.
Amen.
So be it.
So be it.
Now, 1 Kings 8:56, part of that verse says, "Not one word has failed of all the wonderful promises that He gave." Not one word has failed of all the promises he made. There has been some failures, but they haven't been on his part. Not one word has failed of all the wonderful promises he made. The only reason his promises fail to come to pass in our lives is because we fail to say, amen, so be it in my life. Because we qualify, and then we just say, amen, so be it in my life. So be it in my life. Let's practice that. Amen.
Amen.
So be it in my life. You know, the good news, the gospel is simply that everything we couldn't do for ourselves, Jesus did for us. And really, it takes the rest of your life as a Christian to actually believe that, to get a hold of that, to understand that, to let yourself, you know, let your thoughts expand around that and say, you know, that's true. That's what the grace of God is about. He made us able to do what we could not do for ourselves. That's grace, divine enablement, divine empowerment. He empowered us to do what we could not do. We couldn't qualify for the promises. And by the grace of God, we qualify. He made us able. Isn't that something? That's what the good news is. And we spend a lot of time failing to see that that's what the good news is. Just that in and of itself. And just saying, yeah, so be it in my life. Now, what promises do you qualify for? Do you know any of the promises you qualify for? I thought we'd just spend a little time tonight talking about the promises you qualify for, because I'm telling you, there's some awesome, awesome, awesome promises that you qualify for. So I just thought I would read you some of them. Now, you can try to write all these down, but I recommend you don't. Because there's a lot of them. But what I do recommend to you is if one of them speaks to you, that you can write it down. But when I read these to you, because I'm just going to read you a lot of God's promises, and you qualify for them, and your response to these promises should be what?
Amen.
Amen. So be it in my life. So when I read you one that you like, you just say, amen. So be it in my life. Well, let's practice. All right, here's one. In Jeremiah 31, verse 14. And my people shall be satisfied with goodness, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Satisfied with goodness. Have you been dissatisfied? There's a great scripture. My people will be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. I tell you, a lot of Christians need that one. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Amen.
Amen. Here's one, Psalm 147:3. He heals the broken in heart and he binds up their wounds. Amen. I like this scripture, Psalm 27:10. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up.
Amen.
So be it in my life. Isn't that a good scripture? When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Some of you, you've experienced your father and mother forsaking you. Hey, no biggie. The Lord will take you up. That's good. So, Isaiah 41, verse 10. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Strength, help, and being upheld. How about that? Proverbs 3:24. It's one I hear a lot at my house. When you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yes, you shall lie down, and your sleep shall be sweet.
Amen.
Sleeping sweet. Philippians 1:6. The God who started this great work in you, he will keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you.
Amen.
Isaiah 40, verse 29, he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength.
Amen. So
Psalm 29:11, this is a promise. The Lord will give strength unto his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen.
So be it in my life. And Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen. So be it in my life.
Sounds like y'all have a lot of needs here tonight. I love this one. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, listen to this. In the NIV it says this: whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it.
Amen.
Actually, I think that's in Isaiah. I have the wrong reference there. It's in Isaiah. Do you know the verse? Okay. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. That's a promise from God for us. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will guide you with mine eye. Here's one from Jesus in John 15:7. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. And Paul wrote in Romans 8:37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loves us.
Amen.
Isn't that a good scripture? Mark 11 says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them.
Amen.
Isaiah 58:11 in the New Living says, the Lord will guide you continually, watering your life when you are dry and keeping you healthy too. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring.
Amen.
Isn't that good? A well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. You'll be guided continually, watering your life when you're dry and keeping you healthy too. That's a good scripture. Psalm 145:16. You open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. And in Psalm 103:5, he satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Got like 9 people that are raising their hand on that one. I better read that one again. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Praise God. The more gray hairs people have, the more they say amen on that one. Y'all turn over to Psalm 23 and let's just read that because it's full of God's promise. Psalm 23. Thank God for Jesus. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? I tell you, it was a brutal life to live under that law. It was a brutal life. I mean, to bear under all the rules and all the regulations, knowing you could never, ever fulfill it, knowing that inside of you there was something bad wrong, that you had a sin nature, and you, in and of yourself, you couldn't control that sin nature, and just when you least expect it, it's going to pop out and do something ugly and break one of the rules, and there you are, and you're unclean, and you got to go find a goat or a lamb and take it in and sacrifice it so it can shed its blood, so it can pay, you know, so it can atone or cover over your sin. But it never washed it away. It was still there. Thank God for Jesus, because he didn't just cover over our sins. He totally washed them away, and then he did something about what really needed something to be done about, which was the bad thing on the inside of us, that sin nature. And he changed that and made us a whole new person. 2 Corinthians 5 says that he made us a new creation. He created us anew, and we were created anew in Christ, marked and stamped in him. And so that old us died, and now we are new people. And we're new people in Christ. And because we're in Christ, and that's the only us that there is, and we're in Christ, we qualify for the promises. Not because we did anything right, but because we trusted in Jesus and what he did for us. That's the gospel. He came and substituted himself for us so we could be made right with God. I'm thankful because I'm not too good at jumping over hurdles. And I'm so thankful that he did that for me, aren't you? He changed everything because we all goofed up. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Praise God. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. In Hebrews, it says, he will never forsake us. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's here on the earth, because our enemies are not in heaven. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
That's good. Goodness and mercy are following you around. In the New Living, it says it this way. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You welcome me as a guest, anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and your unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Those are great promises. Luke 10:19. Something Jesus said to his disciples. He said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now that's a good one. Amen. So be it in my life. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. Psalm 91:10. Well, we should just turn to Psalm 91 now that we're talking about nothing shall by any means hurt me. Psalm 91, what great promises. Verse 3. Thank God for Jesus. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Amen.
Amen.
Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you. Thank God for angels. You know what qualifies you for angels watching over you? Jesus. They keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra and the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. Verse 15 says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. Amen. So be it in my life. Isaiah 43:25, I, even I, am he that blots out thy transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. It's a promise of God to forget your sins. He chooses to forget your sins, to remove them, and to even remove the memory of them. So it's not like God is dealing with us, you know, just like, oh, poor, you know, little Neil, and I sent Jesus, and now he's forgiven. Sweet little Neil, he fell short. It's so good he had Jesus. No, he's not looking at you at like little fallen and little repaired and taped back up together, band-aided, humpty-dumpty with the glue back together kind of person. He's looking at you as somebody He removed your sins, and he totally, the Bible says he removed them from us as far as the east is from the west. I don't know how far that is, but that's as far as they can get. And then, not only that, he doesn't even remember them. So he's not looking at you on the basis of your sin. He's not looking at you on the basis of your past. That's a really good promise, because that sure helps your prayer life. When you go boldly to the throne, you can go there knowing God's not remembering all the bad things you did, all the things you should have done you didn't do, and all the things you shouldn't have done that you did do. He doesn't have those lists there. There's not an angel there that's pulling out the list to read off all those things. That's done away with, and God doesn't remember them, and any record of it just totally done away with. You know, I was teaching in an Abundant Life class one day. I was teaching about our covenant of redemption and about how God has just wiped out our sins. And I was talking about how some people have used an illustration like this in order to, I don't know, they're trying to get some kind of response from the people. But anyway, the illustration goes something like this, that one day you're going to get to heaven. And when you get to heaven, the angel's going to take you into the card catalog library in heaven, and they're going to open the drawer with your name on it. And when they open the drawer with your name on it, they're going to look through it, and there's going to be, you know, the time where you kicked little Johnny on the playground, and there's going to be the time when you stole the bubble gum from, you know, the corner store, and then there's going to be the time when you cheated on that test and then seventh grade, and then there's going to be, you know, it's just going to go through your whole life with all your sins there. And I've heard people on television give this as an illustration to try to scare people into repenting or something, or going through this whole thing. And even Christians, you know, you better live right, because, you know, it's all being recorded, and one day you're going to have to stand and give an account of all these wrongs you've done. And they got them listed in heaven. Or the other version is you're going to sit down when you get to heaven, and there's going to be the video film, you know, the film of your life, and it's going to show all your sins. You know, and you're going to finally be exposed for the heathen you really are, you know, and all that. And so I was telling that story about that I'd heard, you know, people giving this illustration, and I was just showing from the Word that that's totally, completely unscriptural, because God doesn't remember your sins. And not only that, the Bible says that He is not, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, He is not counting up or holding against you your trespasses. He has no record of them. The records, whatever the records there were, have been destroyed. Well, I was sharing that in the class, and I just went on, and one of the ladies in the class came up to me after the class, and she's crying. She said, "This changed my life." She said, "The reason I haven't been in church for years, and the reason I have felt so afraid of God, is because when I was a little kid, I went to church, and I was sitting in the pew," and she said, "I never paid attention to anything anybody ever said in church, but one Sunday the pastor told about how in heaven there was going to be this big record volume card catalog system of all my sins," and she said, "and how all my sins are in there, and all I could think about was, oh my goodness, this I've done and that I've done." I mean, this is a little kid that's probably 8 or 9, and she said, "all my life it's haunted me whenever I've done something I knew wasn't right, that, oh my goodness, that just went on my record, and that's being held against me." And she's just standing there with tears streaming down her face. She said, "and today I realized that was not true. That was a lie, because I saw it in the Word, where God, He doesn't remember them, and He's not going to, like, bring them back up to me in some big judgment day and smear my name. You know, scandal in heaven, all the sins you've done." No, God's not going to be handing out, you know, rag sheets. God's not a gossip. He doesn't go around and tell your business to people. And one reason He doesn't is because He said in His Word, I'm so glad, "He blots out our transgressions for my own sake," He said, "and I will not remember your sins." I'm so glad about that. That's good news. I don't care who you are. You did something sometime. You hope to God nobody ever finds out. It's true. I'll just read the scripture. It is? Tell us more, Neil. It's the truth. 2 Corinthians 5. Jenny, do you have the Amplified Bible? Let me hold your Bible a moment. I just want to read that. That's just, if Jesus didn't do anything else for us but this, man, He did. He did so much for us. 2 Corinthians
5. Well, I'm just going to read a bunch of verses. Verse 17. Therefore, this is an amplified, if any person is engrafted in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. I'm so glad we're not just a bandaged up, broken down little sinner that just got the Band-Aid, you know, little Neosporin. He just put a little He didn't do that for us. He made us a whole new person, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. I'm not sure where it went, but it's gone. Behold, the fresh and new has come. But all things are of God, who through Jesus Christ has reconciled us to himself. He's received us into favor. He's brought us into harmony with himself. And he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. This is verse 19. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them. And he's committing to us the message of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though... Well, wait a minute. I was reading King James. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God making his appeal, as it were, through us. We are Christ's personal representatives. And we beg you, for his sake, to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made Christ to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with and viewed as being in and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be, approved and acceptable and in right relationship with him by his goodness. That's when he substituted himself for us. He took our sin. He didn't sin, but he took our sin so that we could be made right with God. And when you're right with God, you're entitled to all the promises. Yes, and amen, because you're right with God. There's nothing keeping you from the promises. Anything you had to do to earn the promise, he did it. He's not counting up and holding against men their trespasses. Praise God. That's a great promise. That's a reality. That goes way beyond a promise. That's a reality. Here, Jenny. Thank you. That scripture in Isaiah just reminded me of that. 1 Corinthians 10:13, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So he promises us that whatever temptation comes our way, there's a way out. There's a way of escape. That's good. There's always a way out, because is there still going to be temptation come in your life? Sure. But there's a way out. He'll not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, what you're able to bear. With the temptation, there's always a way of escape. Here's a good one. Psalm 34:17. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Now, I tell you, this scripture right here is a really good illustration of what I'm talking about how you're qualifying through Jesus Christ, because it said here, the righteous cry. And I just read to you in 2 Corinthians 5:21, where you have been made right, the righteousness of God in Christ. You are righteous. Now, if you just lived before Jesus and under the old covenant, you didn't necessarily qualify when you read the righteous cry, because you had to be righteous. You had to be right. And if you hadn't covered yourself with the blood of bulls and goats, you know, since your last stumbling, then you weren't right. But we've been made right through Jesus, through his own precious blood that was shed. And so the righteous cry, anytime I cry to God, I'm right here. I am the righteous crying to God. And the Lord hears and he delivers us out of all our troubles. That's good to know. Any of y'all ever had any trouble? Any of y'all ever made any trouble? I'm glad he didn't just say, out of all the trouble you didn't make for yourself. I'm glad he said, all your troubles, because most of the troubles we have, we made for ourselves. And he even delivers you out of the trouble you make for yourself. Because people are good at making trouble for themselves. But he delivers us out of all our troubles. Thank God. Isaiah 43:2 in the New Living says this, When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up, and the flames will not consume you.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Here's 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4. Who comforts us in all our troubles. So not only when we're going through troubles, when we're going through deep waters, He'll be with us, but He offers comfort to us. Comfort to us. He comforts us in all of our troubles. And sometimes you just need to be more comfortable. You need some comfort. And He is the source of all comfort. He is the God of all comfort. I'm so glad, because that's a promise. Amen. Psalm 147, verse 3. He heals the broken in heart and He binds up their wounds. I think I read that already. Nahum 1, 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. That's good, because it's the day of trouble. Seems troubling to me. Amen. So be it in my life. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. 1 Peter 2, 24. Who His own self bear our sins in His own body on the tree. And the last part of that verse says, by whose stripes you were healed. Isn't that good? Oh, and I'll read you Isaiah 53. It says, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace, Amplified says, for our peace and our well-being was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. That's a promise. Healing is a promise. It belongs to us because of what Jesus did for us. He bore stripes so we would be healed. Jeremiah 30:17, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds. Mark 17:18, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's a promise of God, that you'd lay hands on the sick, and the sick would recover. Psalm 34:10, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing.
Amen.
I'm going to read that one again. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Amen. Amen. So be it in my life. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. While you're turning over there, I'm just going to read you from Galatians 3 to show you. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. See, He took the curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. See, that's the amen, so be it in my life. Here are the blessings that we're promised. All these blessings, verse 3. Verse 2 says, they'll come on us and they'll overtake us. And then verse 3 says, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. See, we're qualified here not by our own merits. We're qualified here because of Jesus. I tell you, we don't recognize what He's done for us as to the degree that we should. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. That has to do with everything you put your hand to do, your businesses, and because we don't have too many herds and cattle and flocks. That's not the business we're in. Deborah, you're in a different kind of business. You're in an accounting business. So that verse 4, you know, has to do with accounting business. It does, you know, because you're not, I don't think you have herds. Do you have herds, Deborah, that I'm not aware about? Not in Augusta? You don't have them anywhere? Okay, see? But there's blessings on what you do. Not yet. Verse 5, blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he's sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Well, see, right there, under the old covenant, if you were going to get anything, you had to keep the commandments and you had to walk in his ways. But because of Jesus, we're qualified. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the New Living says they'll stand in awe of you. And verse 11, and the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body and in the increase of your livestock, produce of your ground, the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. And the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give rain, the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. See, that's for all his kids. That just makes sense, though, that he wants his kids to be the head and not the tail. I mean, what father wants their kids to be, you know, behind and below and beneath? The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. Those are promises. And then I read to you how we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. If you read through from 15... verse 15 all the way down to the end, you'll see the curses. And I like verse 61. It just covers them all. It says, every sickness and every plague which is not even written in this book of the law, all of that is part of the curse. So every sickness and every disease that is known, and every one that they didn't even know about back then, or they didn't write down, they didn't record here in the book of the law, every sickness and every plague, you have been redeemed from it in Christ Jesus. That's a promise of God for you. Thank God for that. Every sickness and every plague, every foul thing that would come in your body, you've been redeemed from that. That's a promise of God. That's good. Amen. So be it in my life. Luke 6:38, Jesus is talking. He gives a principle, give and it shall be given to you. He's really talking there about your relationships with people, giving. You don't judge other people, they're not going to judge you. But he gave that principle, and it's borne out through the Scripture. Whatever you give, whatever you offer to other people, make available to other people, bless other people with, God blesses you back with it. It's a law of sowing and reaping. Give, and it shall be given to you. That's a blessing from God. That's a promise from God to you. Here's a promise from God in Ecclesiastes 2:26. For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. Amen. Now, let me ask you, why are you good in his sight? Jesus. It's not because you chose paper over plastic. It's because you are good in his sight only because of Jesus. That's the only thing that could ever make you good in his sight. Isn't that right? Tell me you're not sitting there thinking I'm good because of something I've done. You're not good because of something you've done. I don't care what it is that you think is so great and grand that you've done. Anything you've done, the Bible says, anything that you've done that you think is good, that it is as filthy rags. Anything you've done to make yourself right with God is it's as dirty as anything you've ever put on. Anything you've ever had on. Is the very best you have to offer. So there's nothing you can do to make yourself good. You're just not. But the only goodness that we have to offer is what's been given to us in Christ Jesus. And God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting that he may give to him who is good before God. The sinner, his job is to work and gather and collect that he may give to him who is good before God. Amen. Amen. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's good. Good promise. Jeannie, let me hold your Bible again. Thank you. I didn't know I was going to read all these. So. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to read it to you. The reason this is applicable to you and to me is because of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Isn't that good? That's just because of what Jesus did. In fact, over in chapter 8, it tells us, Jesus, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 8, 9, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. That's what Jesus, he took our poverty and gave us all that he has. And then, I tell you, this has got to be one of the very best scriptures in the whole Bible. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
Amen.
The Amplified says it this way. He who did not withhold or spare even his own son. In other words, he gave us everything, even his own son. Which is even a more precious thing than had he given us himself. In essence, he did give us himself when he gave us Jesus. But I'm just telling you, for me, a greater sacrifice than even giving you my life would be giving you the life of my child. And those of you who are parents, you understand that. That would be a far greater sacrifice for me to give you my child, to give the life of my child, than even to give my life. I can't think of a greater sacrifice someone could make than to give the life of their child. And that's what he did. It says, he did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all. Will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things? And the scripture says that he has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And I'm going to tell you, if you've been blessed with spiritual blessings, those are the highest blessings you can have. The lowest blessings are natural blessings, physical blessings. Spiritual blessings, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. We have been given Jesus. How shall he not then with him freely give us all things? So whatever it is you need, he's already given Jesus, so there's nothing left that he wouldn't give you. He's given everything up to and including his own precious son. And so what is it that you have need of in your life? If it's an answer to a problem, I'm telling you that's really low in comparison to what he's already given you. Whatever it is, he's already given you everything. That's an awesome scripture because you can receive whatever you need on that scripture. He who did not spare his own son, but he delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Wow. All things. Praise God. And then I'll just read to you. Starting in verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there's no separating us. No separating us from this love that he has for us. No cutoff point on his love. I tell you, that's a promise that his love will never be cut off from his love. Never cut off from his love. I tell you, that's an awesome thing. You can just sleep at night. No wonder you can lay down in your sleep, be sweet, just knowing God loves me. He's not withholding anything from me. He's already given me Jesus. This little thing that I need is just so minuscule in comparison to what He's already given me. You know, whatever it is, I don't care what it is, it's nothing compared to Him giving you Jesus. You know, to me, those of you who've seen the movie Passion of the Christ, any of y'all seen it? Some of y'all seen it. To me, the thing that struck me the most, and I know everybody has their own story what struck them, but since I'm speaking, I get to tell it. The thing that struck me really the most was the scene when He was dragging His cross through, and He'd been through so much. He'd already been through the whipping and all the things, and His mother, you know, there she's trying to get to Him. And John leads her around the back way through this path. And she's there and she's looking down, and the crowd's coming by down in like it looks like a passageway. And she sees Him fall, and the cross fell. And when it did, she saw Him fall. She had a flashback to when He was a little boy and He fell. Y'all remember? And when He fell, and it just hit me right here. Because when your mama, it hits you right here. When your child falls, you try to run to your child and pick them up. I mean, if it looks like they're hurt, you know, you don't even think twice. You'll just stumble over whatever to get to them. And there she was, and he fell, and he's a little boy, and she ran towards him to pick him up and to get him. And there he was, and he's fallen, and she can't run and pick him up. But I saw not Mary and her son, but I saw the Father. That was the Father's Son who had fallen, and He could pick him up, but He chose not to because His Son was suffering for us. And think of that. That to me, and I just found out, I've seen the movie twice, and I just found out, do y'all remember the drop that fell and hit the earth? I thought it was a sweat drop. No, I know, I missed it. I saw the movie twice. And Matt's just like, no, get with it. It was a tear that in essence fell from heaven. And to think that that's the sacrifice. I mean, that's what that whole movie's about. It's not about how much He suffered. It's the sacrifice the Father made. That He could stand to see His Son suffer. And at any moment, He could have stopped it. But He didn't. Because if He had, then all of us were doomed. John 3:17 says, we were all doomed. We were condemned. It wasn't we were going to be. We were condemned. And the only way to get us out from under that condemnation that we were under was for Him to let that continue. For His Son to pay the price for us. Now, you know, once you see that movie, and you read this scripture here in Romans 8 about what He's done for us, then it ought to do something for your faith. It ought to be easier for you to say, yes, amen, so be it in my life. This is nothing in comparison to what He's done for me. The awesome price that was paid. Somebody, we saw the movie, somebody in the church came up to me and said, I tell you one thing that I got out of that movie. There was an awesome price paid for my healing. And I've been putting up with too much sickness in my life. For the awesome price that was paid for my healing. I mean, He bore all that so I could be free from sickness, and here I am just putting up with it. Because He paid the awesome price so you'd be free. I tell you, paid the same price for you to be free from poverty. He bore your poverty. He took it and bore it. And we just put up with it. We put up with lack. The Lord is our shepherd. We don't lack for any good thing. We shouldn't put up with it. Shouldn't put up with it. Praise God. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? That's a promise of God. And that promise is yes. And it's yes, it's true for you. And amen. So be it in my life. Every one of them. Now, we just covered maybe 20 of them. There's another 29,000. You know, 980 at least promises in the scripture for you and for me. And every one of them, when you see it in there, yes, it's for you. Not because you deserve it or you worked your way into it or you met this and did that and you've got your record of all the things. No, it's because of Jesus. And it just gets down to that simple. It's because of Jesus. And if you ever get it beyond that and it's up to you, then you're out in a bad place, because you're never going to be able to fulfill it all and do it all and be good enough. You're just never going to be able to be good enough yourself. It's only through Him you're ever going to be right with God. It's only through Him that you're entitled to anything from God. But because of Him, you're entitled to incredible stuff. So you might as well get a hold of it. Amen. That's all I'm going to say tonight.
Well, praise God. Is anybody full here tonight? Full of the Word? Tell you, the Word is true.